The following message by Shane Sowers is brought to you by Central Baptist Church, Aurora, Colorado. www.cbcaurora.com.
2 John, Second John, verses 10 to 13. Now, while you're turning there, there's a story from Denmark about a Lutheran congregation that's seeking a new pastor. But the church has one non-negotiable, but apparently controversial requirement. Do you know what the requirement is? The pastor must believe in God. In parts of post-Christian Europe, and this is actually common. I've been doing a little bit of research here. I've been finding out this is really common. In parts of post-Christian Europe, pastors don't have to believe in God to minister in churches anymore. For one instance, one pastor complained. He actually said, "Personally, I prefer a good agnostic theologian." Isn't that what's called the onomatopoeia? I forget what that is. That's not an onomatopoeia. What's the
oxymoron?
That's what I'm looking for. An oxymoron. An agnostic theologian. He says, "I prefer a good agnostic theologian rather than a fundamentalist who believes the Bible can fit all human aspects of life. I'd rather have an agnostic theologian than a person who believes that the Bible can answer questions of all human life." Wow. A minister's council issued a protest against this congregation. The council issued a protest against this congregation who had a requirement that their pastor believes in God. And they said, "Who can decide if a person has the correct beliefs or not?" Wow. So the reporter, he finally comments and says, "In Denmark, what few church-going Lutheran Christians there are left are reduced to having to ask that the church send them a pastor who actually believes in God." And this is controversial. I think, family, one of the big reasons why we as the body of Christ, why we find our way into these kinds of predicaments, these unthinkable. I'm reading the story and I'm scratching my head going, "For real? Is this for real?" You know? We find ourselves in these unthinkable predicaments. Wonder, you know, we wonder, and I think why this happens is because we as the body of Christ, over the last several years, maybe even longer, we don't do anything about it. Seriously, let me think about that for a minute. We don't do anything about it. We've become apathetic. We've become very passive about taking hard stands on things. We think it to ourselves, you know what? This isn't worth the fight, so I'll just keep my mouth shut. You know, I don't want to get into an argument right now, so I'm just not going to say anything. You know, that's not good, but you know what? It's not my problem, so whatever. It's not my job to fix this. It's not my problem, baby. You know, it's okay. These kinds of things just have a way of working itself out. No, they don't really work themselves out. We just think that they do. All the downfall because we continue to be passive about bad, false, and heretical teaching. We no longer watch out, or we're no longer alert to the reality that it's out there. Well, let me just say this. That's not the real reason why. That was just a primer. I was just getting a setup here. The main reason why we find ourselves in these situations where we are arguing as to whether or not a pastor should believe in God or not, and fighting over this, the reason why we find ourselves in this situation is not because we are just passive, it's because we are supportive. Whoa, fasten your seatbelts. It's because we're supportive. We think that it's okay for people to say things like this, say things like agnostic theologians, and we defend their right to be able to say these things because we shouldn't tell anybody what they should believe. We shouldn't do that. We should let people believe what they want to believe. Hey, if that's what they want to believe, let's support them. No, we're not passive anymore, family. We have become supportive. You know, people will say, it's not my place to tell somebody what to believe. And no one should tell them what to believe. Again, we should support them in what it is that they believe. So we are actively supporting this kind of thinking, this kind of belief, this kind of behavior. Oh, man, Shane, come on. I don't think I'm supporting this kind of stuff. Oh, no? We are not supporting this kind of stuff. So the false teachers of today have multiple private jets because God parked it in the church parking lot for them. Okay. Do we really think that the false teachers of today live in multi-million dollar mansions on oceanfront properties because God sent angels from heaven and they floated down and built it for them in a day? No, do you know why they have this stuff? Because we are giving them money. That's why. Family, we are giving them money, giving them all the money. We are supporting this. We are not being passive. We are actively giving them money. We're not just kicking back and saying, you know what, I don't want to bother with this situation. We are giving them money. We are not just ignoring the problem. We are giving them money. We are letting them into our churches. We are selling their books in our bookstores. We are listening to their music on our radio stations. We are watching their TV shows. We're listening to their podcasts. We are subscribing to their YouTube channels. We are not being passive. We are supporting them. We are allowing them into our homes, our schools, and our church. We support those who lie from the pulpit, who twist the scriptures, who prophesy falsely, who preach deceptive doctrines, who preach another gospel, those who preach what other people want to hear, those who belittle and disrespect the office of pastor and his qualifications, those who do not teach the truth about Christ. Family, we are supporting this. And then we want to sit back and wonder, why is it that there are churches in this world that are requiring their pastor to believe in God? And we wonder why we're in this situation? Why pastoral search committees have to put in their documents a requirement that the pastor actually has to believe in God? Do you think about that? Like, we're actually to the place right now where we're requiring, when they give the qualifications of what we're looking for as a pastor, that in that qualification list is the requirement that you have to believe in God. We're not far off, family, in our culture today. Because here's the thing, many churches in America, we still want the pastor to believe in Christ, but we don't want to hear sermons about Christ. Think about it. Think about it. I've told you several times of conferences that I go to where I will listen and sit for an entire hour and listen to a sermon being preached. And the only time I ever hear the name Jesus is when they say, in Jesus' name, amen. How in the world can you hear an entire sermon from Scripture and not mention Christ? How is that possible? Yeah. Family, We're one step away, maybe. But here we go. The Lord is not amused. The Lord is not passive about this. He said it clear in his word. If you support these teachers, he will count you as a partner in their crime. He will hold us responsible for it. Don't believe me? Let's take a look. 2 John verses 10 to 13. If anyone comes to your meeting and does not teach the truth about Christ, don't invite that person into your home or give any kind of encouragement. Anyone who encourages such people becomes a partner in their evil work. I have much more to say to you, but I don't want to do it with paper and ink, for I hope to visit you soon and talk with you face to face. Then our joy will be complete. Greetings from the children of your sister, chosen by God. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you so much for your word. God, as hard and as difficult as it is sometimes, Lord, I just thank you that we can stand knowing, not in confusion, but knowing the truth. And when we know the truth will make us free. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. So the first thing we're going to look at today is the second directive that John gives concerning false teachers, in that we are not to support them. So remember the first time, last week we saw the first directive he gave was he told us that we need to watch out, to be alert, to be aware, look, see them coming. Number one. The number two, he says, when you do see them coming, this is the next thing you're supposed to do. Do not support them. The second thing we're going to look at is we're going to explore what it is we're seeing in Scripture, the partner in crime, accusation, the indictment of looming guilt, guilt by association, that we will be pinned, that it will be pinned on us if we do actually support them. And finally, we're going to see why we can rejoice as Christ desires to unite with his people, receiving the full benefit of what it is to be a partner with Christ. So our thesis statement today is this. Though sin and the pattern of this world causes us to be deceived by the false teachers in this world, it is the truth of Scripture and the illumination of the Holy Spirit that will bring us to love the truth about Christ and to persevere in it to the glory of God forever. So, point number one, the false teacher, those who do not teach the truth about Christ. So this is what we have right there. He's talking about those who do not teach the truth about Christ. We went into this whole thing in great detail last week. We're just going to kind of maybe touch on some of these points this week. Because last week we got the first directive, the first instruction from the Apostle John when it comes to false teachers. So we identified the false teacher. So when it comes to these false teachers, he refers to them and calls them deceivers. And he calls them antichrists. So, woo, when we hear the word antichrist, doesn't it just, like, do something? Like, whoa. So, all we know is that immediately we want nothing to do with it, right? So, he calls them deceivers and antichrists, and he commands us. Remember, it's an imperative. He commanded us to watch out. He's not telling us that it's okay for you to be passive on this. You can just kick back. You don't have to worry about it. Let Pastor Shane and the elders at the church worry about it. No, he's telling all believers that we need to be aware and that we need to watch out. Commanded to watch out. Watch out. That's the first thing. Okay? Commanded to watch out, to be aware, to be alert, because these guys are out there. And remember, we saw Jesus told them, did he not? He warned them that there were going to be false teachers, false prophets, these false Christs that were going to come. And John is telling us, yeah, they're here. Yeah, Jesus wasn't lying. They are here. And family, let me tell you, they are still here in great abundance. We talked a little bit about the internet as to how that just opened this door that, you know, a flood that just is coming in. It's just really hard to try to to make sense of it all. Okay, so here we come to the second directive given to us by the apostle. If it's given to us by the apostle of Christ, then it is coming from God. Do not invite that person into your home or give them any encouragement. Do not invite them into your home and do not give them any encouragement. We won't go through all the specific ancient or details of that time and that culture as to what all of this means to invite someone into your home or to give them any kind of encouragement, because it seems kind of weird. You know, if in our culture today we just say don't bring them into your home, that means just, you know, don't let them into your home and, you know, don't give them any encouragement, don't hail them, which means don't say hi. There's so much more to it. So let me just run it down and say it this way. Essentially, what he is saying is, do not support these people. Don't. To invite an individual into your home, to encourage them, in other words, you're supporting that individual. So he's saying, number one, watch out, be alert. There's false teachers that are out there, and they're coming. Number two, do not support these guys, girls, when they come. Don't support them. So let's take a closer look at this, because this is where things get a little bizarre, and I think this is why there's some uneasiness with it. We've got to understand that in light of the whole of Scripture, when you look at all of Scripture, are we not, as Christians, constantly instructed and commanded to be hospitable? This is where the tension is, right? We are commanded to be hospitable. Man, we are supposed to take care of people. We are supposed to help people. We're supposed to invite them into our home. We're supposed to encourage them. We're supposed to do all of this stuff. We are constantly instructed in this. Hospitality is to be a virtue existent in all believers. I bet you didn't know this. The book of Ezekiel instructs us as to what the real sin of Sodom and Gomorrah was. Do you know what the real sin of Sodom and Gomorrah was? They were not being hospitable. Go check it out. Go look. Such an important thing. I got to make sure I tell you to go look, because, you know, you guys are going to think that I'm a false teacher and throw me out. It's amazing. Go, you know, your sister Sodom, about them not being hospitable. It's such an important thing to be hospitable as a Christian. So if that's the case, why is John giving us this command? Why the rudeness? This is the force of how important this command is. This is what John Stott will refer to as an uncompromising order that John has given to Christians. This is an uncompromising order that John has given to us. So serious, so grave is the error of these teachers that the modus operandi, the MO, changes. When these guys walk in, everything changes. So startling is this command that we receive, that many commentators, and I thought this was fascinating, I'll read commentators on this, many commentators have actually taken offense to this. They were really offended by it, and they say, you know what, John was either wrong. Some of them actually said that John was wrong in giving us this command. You know, I'm just like thinking, like, how could somebody think that the apostle is wrong when he gives us the command, when you got a command in Scripture? How can we come to the place where we actually think it's wrong? And then I remembered, oh yeah, pastors don't have to believe in God anymore, right? So, they say that he was wrong, or these directives are only for minute, extreme emergency cases. And that John's fierce intolerance here was absolutely not necessary. Really bizarre stuff I'm reading about this. And it was because it's so startling, isn't it? I mean, it's a little startling. We're supposed to be hospitable, but now he's telling us not to be hospitable. Family, hear me. We do not read the Word of God. Let me just say this. We don't read the Word of God like this. Let me make something very, very clear here. If God says something in his Word that you think is wrong or that you believe is wrong, then one thing is really clear. You are wrong. Should I say that again? Did we get that? I didn't see a lot of nodding heads. If God says something in his word, and you're sitting back there and you go, I think that's wrong. I think God is wrong. Then one thing is perfectly clear. You are wrong. God is not, never, nor ever will be wrong. So if we Christians are normally given to hospitality, are given a command not to be hospitable, then I would say that it is, okay for us to ask the question, why the change? Let me tell you why the change. It is not because of the shortcomings with John. It is because of the serious, severe shortcomings of the false teacher. It is so serious. The whole thing with false teachers, people who do not teach the truth about God. It is so serious and so dangerous that the normative behavior of a Christian must absolutely change. This is the exception to the rule. Do not be hospitable to these deceivers and these antichrists. They are not to be supported in any way. John is not messing around, and you know what? He did not mess around in his life. There is a story, I know I told this before, but there's a story that's recorded in the second century book Against Heresies, written by St. Irenaeus. Irenaeus was a disciple of St. Polycarp. Now, some of you may know who Polycarp is. Polycarp is famous because Polycarp was a disciple of John, an actual disciple of John. So this is a direct line. The story was told to Irenaeus by Polycarp as to what happened. At the end of the first century, there was a Gnostic heretic who I believe is who John is talking about directly in these books, in 1 and 2 John. There's a Gnostic heretic. His name was Cerinthus. Among other things, he denied the virgin birth. He denied that Jesus was the Christ, and he taught that Christians were required to follow the Mosaic law to be saved. So there's a lot of stuff this guy said, but pretty much a heretic. He denied that Jesus was the Christ. Anybody denies that Jesus is the Christ, they're a heretic. Pretty simple. This is what Cerinthus believed. One day, John went inside the public bathhouse. So back then, they were bathhouses. When John went inside the public bathhouse to take a bath, he saw Cerinthus, and he saw Cerinthus. He was actually sitting inside, and he was bathing. John immediately ran out of the building, exclaiming to those with him, "Let us fly, lest even the bathhouse fall down, because Cerinthus, the enemy of the truth, is within." John saw him, and he was gone. Him and his followers were vapor. They ran out of the place. Now I know, today, we sit back. We sit back and we think, man, I don't know about that, maybe. Oh, no, that seems a little childish. That seems a little immature. Seems like it, you know, we're not, you know, following the consensus of how we operate as human beings within the culture. This is how serious the Apostle John took the truth of the gospel. We got to be careful when we think that this was just John's fanatical behavior. False teachers, family, they're no joke. Or not. As a pastor, I haven't experienced all this stuff, but I have had my share of watching and seeing what teachings have done to destroy lives. They're no joke. And these things need to be taken seriously.
You know, well, you know, if it were me, you know, and I saw a false teacher in there, you know, maybe what I'll do, you know, not do what John did, but go exchange phone numbers and meet at Starbucks, you know, and have a conversation. Family, false teachers, again, are no joke. And one of the things that that John Stott even brought up when it comes to this is that even by us doing that stuff with false teachers, you know, going up there, being, you know, friendly, all that stuff, exchanging phone numbers, you know, exchanging contacts, all that stuff, you know, meeting on the golf course later, other people see you doing that. Hello? Other people see you doing that. And he says, we're missing the point in this. We're missing something very, very serious. False teachers are no joke. Oh, but people will say, well, you know what? John was just fanatic. Well, did you know something? John is not the only one. The Apostle Paul advises the same thing in Romans chapter 16, verse 17. Romans chapter 16, verse 17. And now I make one more appeal. Dear brothers and sisters, watch out for people who cause divisions and upset people's faith by teaching things contrary to what you have been taught. What are you supposed to do? Stay away from them. Stay away from them. Hey, even Solomon makes that suggestion. Proverbs chapter 24, 1 to 2. It's not a suggestion, a command. Proverbs 24, verses 1 to 2. Don't envy evil people or desire their company, for their hearts plot violence and their words always stir up trouble. Stay away from them. And we're not standing here and saying, hey, well, you know what? You know, we're pointing and we're saying, hey, you know what? The Shane's not being hospitable here. No. It's not that I'm not being hospitable. The problem is not my hospitality. The problem is the company. Ooh, man, this is hard to hear, isn't it? It's rude. And people would be like, man, Pastor Shane, he was rude today. And telling us not, you know, to be, you know, let people give them something to drink or anything like that. Don't say hi to them. Don't greet them. Don't say goodbye. Don't know. That is just rude. See, in our culture, we look at this and we see this as rude. But I don't see this as a slipping in our manners. I see this as we are not recognizing how serious this is. People are going to go to hell because of what they're teaching. You don't think that's serious? We can't be welcoming to the teachers, those who do not teach the truth about Christ, nor are we to wish them well with blessing. In other words, again, this is how people back in the day would support and encourage teachers. Meals, place to stay, money, affirmation, attending their sessions, wishing them well and saying that you are there for them. It is called supporting them. We do not support false teachers. We do not support these people. Stop giving them money. Get off their mailing list. Stop being ministry partners with them. Don't go to their speaking engagements. Do not let them into your home. Don't, or through their books or through their MP3s and watching their videos on YouTube. Stop praying for their success and pray that they repent of what they're doing. That's what we're called to do. John Stott writes this, Dr. John Stott. His teaching is derogatory to Christ and dangerous to the church. How then can we make him welcome in our home or church or wish him well on his journey? If we were to do so in the name of love, we would not be acting in the best interests either of the false teachers or those they want to pervert. Their teaching is derogatory to Christ and dangerous and destructive to the church. Why are we allowing them? Why are we allowing them a place? So let me try to say it in my way. People who do not teach the truth about Christ is slandering and speaking ill of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There is no way you are going to have a place at my table if you do that. Come on now. Don't let me be the only one up here being honest. I mean, if somebody says something about our family member, our dad, our mom, you're not going to bring them and allow them to sit at the table. You're not going to do that for them. Why would we allow them to do that when they're saying stuff like that about my Lord and my King? If you are saying that my God is not the Son of God, then you are demeaning and you are humiliating my Lord, and there is no way, no way I am ever going to be cool with you doing that. It is not good for the false teacher, and it's not good for those who they are deceiving. And you know what? It's not good for me either. I don't want to hear it. We don't realize that. If you are saying that Christ was not a man, and you are calling him, then you are calling my Lord a liar. You are calling my Lord a cheat. And there is no way I'm going to be okay with you doing that. You are not sitting at my dinner table. It's not good for the false teacher. It's not good for those who are there deceiving. It is not good for me. It's not good for me. If you are denying the personhood of the Godhead, you are reducing my Lord to nothing, or you're reducing him to, in a lot of ways, the creation. And if you are calling Christ a creation, did you know it's worse than calling him a dog? To call the living God, creator of heaven and earth, a creation is one of the most humiliating, demeaning, and disrespectful things we could ever say about the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And people will be like, oh, well, come on, Shane, dude, these teachers, they're not calling Jesus a dog. Oh, yeah, I know, they're not directly calling him a dog. But they're calling him a dog in an indirect way. I don't know about all this indirect way. Oh, yeah, you know. You didn't go tell your friends when you went up to go gossip about that guy. You didn't go directly tell them that he was mentally challenged. But you did tell them that he rode the short bus when he went to high school. Yeah, you didn't directly say it, but you indirectly did. And I am not okay with that. We can't be okay with the false teachers who do not teach the truth about Christ to be supported at all in any way. This is not an option. This is not a suggestion. This is a command from the Lord. We are to watch out for them, and we are not to support them, period. Not only is their doctrines dangerous and will send people to hell, family, these doctrines demean, disrespect, and shamefully slander my King. And I'm not okay with that. Now, John is not telling us to start planning acts of violence against these people. But we don't support them. False teaching and false prophecy not only endanger the spiritual and physical life of the hearer and supporter, it also assigns false and untrue attributes and characteristics to our living Lord Jesus, and it puts Christ in a light where the world will look at him with disdain and ridicule, especially when their teachings make him look stupid, insecure, unable to make up his mind, and makes God look like he doesn't know what he's talking about. You know what I'm saying? You listen to some of this false teaching, and you listen to the false prophecies and all that stuff, and you like go sit back and you go, you know what? God can't make up his mind, I guess. You get this a lot of times. You know, unfortunately, you get this when it comes to like, I talk about this, I probably shouldn't make fun of it, but it's just so comical to me. You see this with pastors a lot. You know, God called me to be here. 3 weeks later, God told me that I shouldn't be here, I should be here. Well, God really didn't want me here. He wanted me here for that moment, then he wants me to move over here. And then God called me to be here. And then God called me to be here. Now he's in his 20th church. God called me to be here for my 21st church. And it's like you sit back and you listen to this stuff and you're like, man, God sure does change his mind a lot. When the Bible says that God says that I am not like man where I change my mind. And this is what I'm saying. These kinds of things, it just makes God look bad. We can't be okay with this stuff. These people should be ashamed of themselves for teaching this stuff. They will be ashamed of it one day. I'll say that right now. But do you know why they keep doing it? Do you know why they keep on doing this stuff? Because we support it. That's why. Supporting it. Praying for them, giving them money, being partners with them in their ministry, all that stuff. We're supporting all of this stuff. A lot of people want them to keep going. We can't be okay with this stuff. We can't tolerate it. We can't be apathetic about it. We cannot ever support it. Again, it destroys people. It disrespects our Lord, and it causes these false teachers to keep doing what they're doing. Family, let me just say this one more time. Don't be okay with people talking bad about our Lord like that. Don't be okay with it. But maybe that's not enough. Maybe you're sitting going, yeah, Shane, I know we're commanded not to support these teachers. You know, and you say, hey, Shane, I appreciate all of what you're saying today. I appreciate it. Thank you so much for teaching the truth and saying all this stuff. But I'm still going to support them. I like this guy, I like this lady, I like this ministry. I'm going to do it anyway. I get a lot out of their ministry, so I'm going to keep supporting them. Okay, so if the command to not support them wasn't enough, then here's another reason why we're not to support them. Point number two, partners in crime. Have you ever heard of the Greek word koinonia? Man, I remember back in the late 80s and early 90s, man, koinonia was like one of the buzzwords. You know how like today the buzzword is exciting? We're excited about what God is doing here. Everything in the 80s and 90s was koinonia this. We need to have koinonia fellowship, koinonia worship, koinonia groups, koinonia events. Hey, I'm koinonia excited about what God's doing. I mean, everything was, you just threw koinonia in. Just be like, hey, Shane, we want to go have lunch? Koinonia. It was there. That's what we did. Koinonia. It was a popular Greek word used by many teachers calling for a community, calling for connections in an intimate and close and personal relationship, a supernatural unity in community. That was my favorite one. Koinonia, the supernatural unity of community. So close that when one part suffers, we all suffer. So close that when one part rejoices, we all rejoice. We've heard it, right? Heard it. 2 John. Verse 11. I stop saying chapter. 2 John, verse 11. Anyone who encourages such people becomes a partner in their evil work. The Greek word for partner, koinonia. To have, to give, to receive a share of. So connected to them that you will share in their doing. They participate with each other. And what are you sharing with? God is saying that you are a partner, a koinonia partner with what they're doing. Their deeds, their actions, their occupation, their mission, their purpose, their undertaking. So for those of you that know Greek, Greek syntax depends on context, and the context is this. You are partners in their mission to spread false teachings about Christ. Wow. In other words, if you support these people, God will see you as a partner in crime and an accomplice in their evil work, and you will be held accountable for their mission to spread false teachings about Jesus. Family, not just a partner, but seen in the same partner sense that God desires for his own people. Meaning, God is going to judge us for what they're teaching. You see that? So if the command wasn't enough, Hopefully this might open up our eyes a little bit more. Oh yeah, you can't just say, oh, well, you know what, that's false teachers doing that kind of stuff. You know what, I support all of this kind of stuff, but he's the one doing it, not me. What does the Bible here tell us? That God is going to hold us just as accountable if we support it. You will be seen just as guilty as they are. Oh, but Shane, I'm a Christian. I have a relationship with God. I won't be judged. Let's go back to verse 9. If you wander from the correct teaching about Christ, you have no relationship with God. This is serious, family. Do not be deceived. Oh, I support the false teacher, but I'm okay. Do not be deceived. You probably support them because you believe what they teach is true. And if you do, you have wandered from the truth and you have no relationship with God. This is not me, family. This is the Word of God. He is making this very, very clear. And you will be guilty of the same pulpit crimes as those teachers because God will see you as an accomplice. Do you see how serious this is? Just listen. Well, we got this mentality. Hey, let's just listen to whoever talking about whatever. This could bring a landslide, long-lasting landslide of transgressions. So much guilt from foolish crimes that slander our Lord. My question, are you sure that you are not supporting false teachers today? Hopefully today, after hearing this, we are going to make sure that we are not supporting false teachers today. God will hold us responsible for this. And you know what? This is where it gets really scary. Ignorance will not be an excuse. Do you know why ignorance? We can't sit there and be like, oh, God, I didn't know. Oh, but God, I didn't know. Do you know why ignorance is not going to be an excuse? Because God already told us that we're supposed to be watching out. He told us that we're supposed to be watching out, to be alert, to look, to watch, to see. We are commanded to watch out. So we're not going to be able to stand there and say, hey, God, I didn't know, when he's saying, you were supposed to be standing guard. How can you stand there and say that you didn't know? We're supposed to be aware. And family, you got to remember this. Even though the Ephesian church was condemned in the book of Revelation, even though the Ephesian church was condemned for their loss of their first love. We focus on that. Oh, well, the Ephesian church, they were condemned because they lost their first love. Did you know that when Christ came to speak to the Ephesian church, he commended them. Before he condemned them, he commended them. And what did he commend them for? He commended them because they were able to identify and defend against false teaching. Yes, you heard it right. In the book of Revelation, Christ is going to commend churches who are alert against false teaching and those who are able to defend against it. Family, ignorance is not an excuse. We are commanded to watch out. And last week, hey, I made it easy for a lot of us. Last week, I gave you a whole bunch of guys, a whole list of people who are not teaching the truth about Christ, that have come in and have found a place within the body of Christ, and I hate to say even the SBC. That just irks me when I have to say the SBC too. They found their way in. I gave us a whole list. But family, there are a whole lot more. There's a ton, and there's a whole lot more coming. And family, I'll just tell you right now, I don't have the time nor the strength anymore. If I ever did, to keeping tabs on all the stuff that's coming through the internet, through books, through radio stations, through all this podcast, I can't keep tabs on everything. I try to do it the best that I can to try to keep tabs on stuff, but man, there's just so much out there. There's a whole lot more. So the question I'm asking us today, and this is your personal responsibility, are you sure you are not supporting false teachers today? Just because their book is in the bookstore doesn't mean it's okay. Just because they are on Christian TV doesn't mean that it's okay. Just because they are on Christian radio does not mean that they are okay. I have learned over the years, and I've heard the admission of many, many people who are in charge of bookstores, many leaders who are in charge of Christian radio stations, many of these guys. Steve can even tell you. Go ask Steve after the service today. There is a personal friend of ours who even knows this is true about a really big, a really famous teacher today. Here's what they say. We know that what these things are is false. They know it's heretical. They know it's false teaching. They know it's bad. But you know what they say? But the book sells, and it makes money, and we have people that work for this ministry that we've got to take care of. They admit that. Family, if you just ask, they'll admit it to you. Yeah, I know this stuff is bad. But we got families we've got to support, so we got to keep doing it. Just because it's in the bookstore, family, doesn't mean it's okay. This family is an abomination. This is what's happening today. And we sit back and we wonder why churches have to make it very clear that we want a pastor that believes in God. Partners in Christ. Partners. God is condemning those that support, saying that they are partners in crime with the false teacher. But ultimately, the goal is for us to be partners with Christ. Today, I'm saying I don't want to be a partner in crime with these guys. Personally, let me be honest with you, just personally, as a Christian, not as a pastor talking to you, as a Christian talking to you, personally, I wouldn't take a chance with this. I wouldn't even, like, if there was an individual or a ministry or something like that was in question, I wouldn't even take a chance with this. Because let me tell you why. I don't like the idea that I could be held accountable for something bad that other people are doing. Why? Because I have so many things that I have done wrong that I have to answer for. I don't need your guys' stuff being put on my ledger. Hello? I don't need your stuff put on my ledger. I don't need the Lord to add someone else's sins on my account. I got enough shortcomings of my own. I already have a huge list of my own sins. I don't want the Lord adding someone else's stuff to my list. See, and that's the trick of it, isn't it? Many times, we find ourselves listening and supporting the false teachers because they say things that we like. I mean, come on, let's be honest. Let's be honest today. They say stuff that we like. It sounds good. You know, and here's the issue. As a Reformed Baptist theologian, for me, it's common for me to hear what they're teaching, and because of all the years of study, knowing immediately when I hear it that it's a lie. I'm like, okay, that's a lie. Oh, yeah, that sounds good, but that's a lie. But my flesh, my sin nature, honestly, kind of wishes that it was true. I'm being honest here. Kind of wishes it was true. Sure, in my flesh, I wish the prosperity gospel was true. I mean, come on. Health, wealth, prosperity? I mean, man, I wish that was true. I wish all that stuff was true. I wish it was right. Health, wealth, prosperity. And then one day you realize that everything the prosperity gospel is offering you is the same thing the devil offered Christ when he was tempting him. Whoa, got real quiet in here. Everything the prosperity gospel is offering you today is the same thing the devil offered Christ on the mountain. One day we realize that. The flesh I desire power. In the flesh, I desire popularity. In the flesh, I desire pleasure. I desire profit. I am tempted to break some of the Ten Commandments to get some of this stuff. In the flesh, in the sin nature. That's why our list grows. We all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Don't listen to the lie that's going on out there teaching that we're not sinners, which is coming from a modern heretic today. The Bible clearly says in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, Romans chapter 3, verse 23, for everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. In Romans chapter 3, verse 10, Romans chapter 3, 10, and the scriptures say, no one is righteous, not even one. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 3, all of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature, but by our very nature, we were subject to God's anger, just like everyone else. And in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 20, Ecclesiastes 7:20, not a single person on earth is always good and never sins. Oh man, Shane, you're so full of lovely news today, aren't you? Sure, family, there's a lot of bad news and warnings that we get from Scripture. But this is why we can rejoice today, because I got good news for us today. The truth about Christ is not that it's just truly true, but it's the most beautiful thing that anyone could ever hear. Yes, we are all sinners, but there is salvation for us today. Because of the truth of Christ, we can have life and life more abundant. Because the truth of Christ teaches that Jesus died for our sins according to the scriptures. And he was buried and he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. That I can say to you today with all confidence, the saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners. We see in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 5 to 6, 1 Timothy 2, 5 to 6, for there is one God and one mediator who can reconcile God and humanity, the man Jesus Christ. He gave his life to purchase freedom for everyone. This is the message God gave to the world at just the right time. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, 1 Peter 2, 24, he personally carried our sins in his body on the cross so that we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. By his wounds, you are healed. And 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, Christ suffered for our sins once for all time. He never sinned, but he died for sinners to bring you safely home to God. He suffered physical death, but he was raised to life in spirit. Family, the promises continue. That if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. All who call upon the name of the Lord, even right now, right where you're sitting, all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is the wonderful truth about the person and work of our Lord Jesus. Our wonderful Lord, who is worthy of all praise, who is the one and only Son of God, who the Holy Spirit empowers, the glory be given to Christ and Christ alone. And because of the work Christ has done, in the end, family, we will not be found partners in crime, but be found partners in Christ and in Christ alone. Let's pray.
Thank you for listening, and may the Lord bless you and keep you. For more information about Central Baptist Church, go to www.cbcaurora.com.